How long do you want this podcast to be?
Is it recording yet?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess my guesstimation is going to be between 25 and 35 minutes.
All right. All right. So for anybody listening, probably just me and Justin in the future, but if you're like somebody who's coming back, you know, and this is a four-year-old podcast and you're wondering what me and Justin did to build our empire, you know, that's cool too. So
this would be a cool place to start.
This would be, yeah.
Because I don't even think we know.
We don't even know.
I mean, we have some grandiose ideas.
You're getting, basically what you're getting is you're like going to hear everything that we're saying and thought, this is how we started that business. It was an idea. And realistically, like, freaking, I'm broke right now, so.
Yeah, you know more than we do.
Yeah, you're like, can you send me a message and say how far you've come? That'd be cool. Anyways,
let's begin. So what do you want to do, Lewis?
So what I want to do, should we start? What? How should we?
Tell them what you already are doing.
Tell them what, all right. Yeah,
what you've done.
Let's go over our current life story. Not like more so in depth for like what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And then we can like.
But give them a bit of a backstory.
All right. Yeah. So my name is Lewis Burris. Basically, right now I live in Lewis, Delaware. Yes, I'm Lewis from Lewis. Yes, that is my pickup line when I go talk to girls. I've lived here for 18 years, or 19 years. Wait, no. I've actually lived here like 15 years. That's not important, though. I lived in Delaware for 19 years. I went through high school. I've always had a burning desire to make business work, like, more than most people. I'm just super interested in, like, how people make money, why some people are broke, why some people are rich. And I think a good way to put it is I'm absolutely obsessed with creating my own successful business. And like, I don't really care if tomorrow I fail, the day after that I fail. As long as I'm just working on my business, I'm happy. And I want to get to the point where I don't have to support myself by any other financial means. So, but what I'm doing right now is, and by the way, for most of my life, I really wanted to play soccer, and so after I graduated high school, which was last year, I went to Italy, played soccer in Italy, then I broke my ankle, and I think that that was a gift from God, because now I've been able to come back home and just grind on business. And so where I'm at right now is I have a coding job. I have a coding job that makes me 40 an hour, so that's very good. That's supporting my business, and I recently broke up with my girlfriend, and that has been a blessing in disguise, because I've been able to develop in so many ways, and now I'm just really hoping to start this cold outreach business that I'm doing and turn it into get it to $10,000 a month as quickly as possible. And then my plan is to live way below my means and reinvest most of the money I make back into the business to scale it as quickly as possible. And I'm going to live in Virginia in 1 month, and hoping that maybe one day I'll find my wife over there. But then I'm also leaving the country after 1 year with Justin, and maybe I'll find an even better wife out there. So that's where I'm at.
You will find a better wife out there.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a good backstory.
I appreciate it, Justin. What's your backstory, Justin?
It's pretty similar to yours.
Yeah.
I've lived in Delaware for 19 years. And I've always had a love for business, conquest. So I think I tried to start my first business when I was probably 15. I wanted to start a clothing line. So I saved up some money.
We're both 19, by the way.
Yeah. Saved up some money. Figured out all the logistics. Found a supplier. Everything that you would go through in trying to start a clothing brand. And my mom caught wind of it when the shirts were delivered to the house. Shut that down. So that was my first failed business. I watched a lot of Ty Lopez. So I wanted to buy one of his courses. Unfortunately, my parents also shut that down. So I just started watching YouTube videos all about business and learning as much as I could. And eventually, probably when I, how old would you say I was? 16? When I started
the bracelet business.
Yeah.
Probably 16, yeah.
16 or a little younger, because I couldn't drive.
So yeah, probably like 15 and
I was 15. So I think I started the clothing brand when I was 13 or 14.
Yeah, I don't remember you ever starting a clothing brand, so probably.
Yeah, so the clothing brand and the Ty Lopez was between 12 and 14. So anyways, I started the bracelet company, and I profited like $30 from it.
Let's go.
Spent a couple hundred and made a couple hundred. But it was like my first successful business. I don't know why I shut it down. I really don't. I think the supplier for the anchors quit making them or something, and I just gave up. I don't know. Soccer season probably started. That was that.
Remember when soccer season starts, you screw business.
Yeah. So anyways, update to current day. I was planning on becoming a pilot because they make good money. Just your standard commercial airline pilot. And they start at like $130,000. Couple years of school, not college, 2 years of flight school, and then you're making $100,000. So that was very appealing to me. And after 5 years, it bumped up to $200,000. And after 10 years, it was $300,000. So that was very appealing. So I was planning on going to flight school. But I was on a flight from Delaware to London for a school trip. And I decided that I really didn't want to fly planes. So on that flight, I pretty much made the decision that I didn't want to fly planes because I thought I'd be bored. Which is true. I still believe that was a good decision. Obviously, the money's good, but I think I would have been bored. So while I was also on that plane, I started watching some real estate videos. And like they had TV shows on the TV screen on the airplane.
Yeah. And that's how this started?
That's how it all started.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
I'm trying to remember the name of the show. It was one of the good ones. It was like selling in Los Angeles or something.
Interesting.
So I probably went through like the whole flight. As soon as I discovered the videos, I just watched videos about real estate, selling real estate. And they would always show how much money that they made off of selling the house. And it was like $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, $250,000. And that's when I made the decision I want to be a real estate agent.
Dang.
So fast forward to present day, I have my real estate license. I went on my first listing appointment the day of high school graduation.
Dang.
And yeah, I've sold a couple of houses. It's a lot tougher than I expected, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, basically we're both going through the grind right now.
Yeah.
I think a good backstory is, well, not, we kind of just both told our backstory. But a good aspect of both of our backstories is that in high school, we would always talk about a billion different business ideas, and we didn't do crap.
No. But like, we felt good talking about it.
Yeah, we felt great talking about it. And we've both always had a very entrepreneurial mindset. But like when it comes to, yeah, we only started doing our businesses because we realized that we actually like have to start doing our business now. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think also for me, and I would assume you resonate with this, Justin.
Yeah.
I just have such a strong desire to build my own thing and to become competent in my own space, as opposed to going up a hierarchy that somebody else has created for me.
Yeah.
Like going through college and getting a job. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that many people are designed for that. But for me specifically, I just want to create my own thing. But there's also a very like competitive aspect to the fact that I just have to like be better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Like I know that business is very hard. Like for instance, starting this cold outreach agency is very hard. But I know that if I learn the necessary skill sets and I put the time in, that I can succeed. And all I have to do is I just have to come up with the right strategies. And if I do that, then I can beat the 95%. And I feel like that is a giant motivator for me.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, and you forgot to mention too, you were a massive coder.
Oh, yeah, facts.
which just kind of played into your life story. Lewis is extremely intelligent. Like,
thank you. Thank you.
Unfathomably intelligent.
I'm blushing.
So he started he started coding when he was probably like 3.
I think I started coding. I coded Arduino, which is like a physical. It's like a.
You almost got a job for Google.
Oh yeah, that would have been dope.
Yeah.
Then I realized I don't want to have a Google job.
No, you don't.
Because they're gay.
Yeah. These, I also started a pressure washing business.
Oh yeah, just started, dude, and he made bank from that. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he started a pressure washing business and made bank.
Yeah, that was the first actually successful business I ever started.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would have been able to get into real estate without it, because real estate is expensive to get into.
Yeah, I actually did door-to-door knocking for pressure washing for 3 days, and I knocked on probably 33 doors, and I got one person, and I did their thing for $200, and I was like, I'm going to be so rich.
Yeah.
But then I just kept knocking on doors, and everybody was like, why are you here? I was like, I don't like this.
Door knocking is brutal. I've done it for real estate. I hate it.
Yeah.
Nothing about it's enjoyable.
Nothing about it's enjoyable. But, like, realistically, like, we were just being babies. Because you can make so much money door knocking. It's not even funny.
You can.
But,
But that's kind of where we're at in life right now. We're just, we were babies. Coding was not that confrontational for you.
Confrontational?
Like, in the way that, like, now you're having to get on, or you will have to get on sales calls.
Oh, yeah,
and facts. Totally pitch yourself.
Yeah, now I have to, like, freaking riz up men.
Yeah.
To give me their money, basically.
And I have to do the same thing.
And Justin has to do the same thing, yeah. Yeah, but coding for me was, I just got really, like, addicted to it because I could create stuff. And basically now I have, it's kind of like a freelancing gig. It pays, like, 14 hours for coding. But
it's just a lot of money.
Yeah, it's decent money. The only issue is, which kind of adds to the lore, is the fact that the job is extraordinarily unstable. So, like, by tomorrow, I could have no more jobs open, and I could be kicked off of the platform that I work for and never make money on it ever again. So I kind of wake up every morning with a fire lit up in my butt to really get this cold business. Because deep down, a very big fear that I have is going to have to work another summer job that pays like $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Which is like appropriate for my age. But dude, I just can't. I can't do that.
You can't do it.
I can't.
So I actually, I'm kind of fighting that right now too.
Really?
Because I'm working twice a week for my grandfather / pressure washing.
Yeah.
Twice a week. And I would give just about anything to be done with it.
Yeah.
Granted, I loved pressure washing. It was a great business. But it's like, it's not even a business now. It's just like a means to get by.
Right? Yeah, I get that. That's.
And it's given me such a good life. But it has to be put to rest.
Put to rest. Yes, I agree. And like, I feel the same way about coding now. Even though like coding is such a blessing.
It's sustained your future.
It sustained my future, and like I can work whenever I want from wherever I want as long as I'm not out of the country.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do the same thing every, like, there's pros and cons to everything, and I just want to make my own business. Whereas like doing the same thing every day on a computer and not creating anything, but you're kind of just like checking box A, B, and C every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So there's definitely many different motivations. But we're at the 14-minute mark. So let's talk about, should we talk about our...
Let's talk about a little bit more about what we're currently doing. Because we told them, I'm in real estate, and they know that you're starting.
Yeah, facts. We really don't have much. Okay, so Justin is 19 years old. I am 19 years old. Justin is about to get married to a woman named Isla Bassar.
It is true.
You guys all know the drama about that. Whatever happened, I don't know. Nah, realistically though, we're all confident it's going to be a happy marriage.
Yeah.
I am currently, Justin is trying to do an Airbnb business.
Yeah, so it's Airbnb arbitrage because I want to get into investing. So right now I'm in
Yes.
real estate
Yes.
and I love real estate. I want to build it and build it and build it at least over the next 3 years, realistically. But meanwhile, I'm also starting an Airbnb arbitrage business. So I have the LLC. I'm about to get $50,000 in business funding. So that means I'm
Which
going
is
to be,
absurdly impressive.
yeah, but that means I'm going to be in debt. And I'm going to be getting my first property hopefully in the next couple months. So what I'm going to be doing is renting the property from a landlord and then subleasing it on Airbnb and furnishing the property. So beds, couches, the whole nine. Yeah. That's basically just my gateway into real estate investing, which is my long-term goal.
Yeah, and we both are living in America, USA.
Yes.
Duh, I think we already said we live in Lewis, Delaware, but we both think that America is going downhill unless Trump gets reelected. But he's already been attempted assassination, so we don't know what's going to happen.
Yep.
And we think that I think a great way to put it is like, dude, like the way that the Olympics opened, mocking Jesus with a bunch of drag queens. Like, I think that is very haram, is a good way to put it.
100%.
I think that America used to embody strength, and now America embodies victimhood and pleasure and fulfilling your bodily desires. When I think that we're all called to simply make an impact on this earth and tame our bodies and tame our minds. So anyways, the reason I'm saying that is because I'm going to live in Virginia for a year.
What's your
And,
biggest goal out of living in Virginia for a year, big dog?
well, my biggest goal for living in Virginia in a year, I find that I'm most productive when I don't set goals, but I just work because I enjoy working. Like, when
Okay.
I got really good at coding, is like developing AI model level coding in like 3 months
Yeah.
was just because I was obsessed with coding.
Sure.
Like, there was no rule to it, there was no reason behind it.
Yeah.
I was just like obsessed.
Yeah.
And I find that when I make the most progress in like my business is when I stop caring about the outcome, but I just get super interested in the process. So, honestly, I think my ultimate goal, which I think will be over my entire life, is to wake up every day and to be joyful and to be at peace and to work on what I'm interested in. And I think if I can manage that, then my life will be well lived. And no matter the monetary situation that I'm in, I'm joyful and I'm working on what I want to work on. Now, obviously, I'm not going to be an idiot and be like, I want to ride ponies all day when I have no money. Like, there's obviously a logical aspect to it, but
Yeah, but
like,
what's a peaceful life in your eyes? Because a peaceful life, waking up and being able to have a cup of coffee without your phone dinging and ringing.
well, I don't think peace is something, I think peace is something that you find within you. I'm not curating my life for peace. I'm curating me to be a peaceful individual,
Okay.
and then my life will follow suit. So like wherever I go, I want to create a world of peace and joy. So I want to be kind to everybody around me. I want to be honest. I want to, control my desires and not like get into a bunch of like I don't know, like, yeah, I don't know. I think I just want to curate because realistically, like, if you, like, you can get to the point where you wake up every morning and everything around you can be crumbling. But if you have developed the right state of mind and the state of being, none of it matters and you can still be joyful and peaceful. And then you can really experience life. And then you can really actually do the things that you need to do every single day and find joy in doing them. And
Yeah.
if you do that, like you win at life.
Yeah.
Like no matter what you're doing, you have achieved the emotional goal that everybody tries to achieve via monetary goals.
Yeah.
So like that is my ultimate goal. And so ultimately I just wanna figure out how to be as joyful as a human being that I could be and be nice to people. And as cliche as it sounds, like treat others as I wish to be treated.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like, that's what's going to be the most impact on the world.
Yeah.
But monetary goals, like, if I was to be selfish, hopefully I want to hit 10 grand a month, at least 10 grand a month while I'm over there. Yeah. I honestly want to hit it within like 2 to 3 months, but that is kind of a short time frame. Yeah. And I'm not going to put too much stress on that, because then that's going to stress me out. So, like, and stress is the killer of productivity.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but then we're going to move the country, and me and Justin are going to live together with his wife, Isla, and we're just going to work 10 hour days.
Or should we work 12?
Should we work 14?
I don't know. 14 is a lot. I thought about it yesterday.
We'll do what we can.
Because 12 is 8 to 8, right? So 14 would be 8 to 10 o'clock at night.
That's true.
That's too much.
I feel like I've done the 14-hour days.
Of course you've done them, but we're talking about consistent.
Yeah, true. Well, like, yeah, when I really stop thinking about the fact that I'm working, but I'm just problem solving, I definitely, like, get to 14-hour days. But, yeah, like, considering that you have Isla, like, you can't be working 14-hour days.
No.
I can be working 14-hour days and be just fine.
I guess there are advantages.
There are advantages. But you're also going to have a little, like, cheerleader in your corner.
That's true.
I'm purely self-motivated, so.
Truly. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
There are advantages and disadvantages.
Indeed.
They say there's a... And I'm about to say I don't believe in this, because I don't. But I am going to still say this, because it'll be an interesting 5-minute to 3-minute talking point. So they say there's a curve when you get married of your income. So, like, married men across the board make more money soon after getting married than they did previously, because their wife is, like, pushing them. And they also feel an added layer of responsibility. But I think that's just for wages.
Wages.
Like, and maybe it doesn't apply to business, because business is like its own, or I should say entrepreneurship is its own world.
It's just like for the average across the board, income goes up for men.
But I don't think it's true for entrepreneurship. But I don't know.
But
my logical side of my brain is telling me that it's not true. Because if I wasn't dating Isla,
you'd just work more.
I 100% would work more. My net worth would 100% be higher. And I used to make the argument that that wasn't the case. But now I'm making the opposite argument.
Really?
Yeah. But she is a big motivating force in my life. Like, if I'm poor the rest of my life, she'll be pretty disappointed in me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think deep down, like, that is obviously a motivation, but I think the way that me and you are motivated and most entrepreneurs are motivated is, like, ego. And, yeah, like, not ego, like, obviously, you know, failing your wife is a big ego hit.
Massive.
But I'm talking ego in the sense of just, like, we are self-motivated because we have a challenge in front of us and we want to beat it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, other people are self-motivated to live a life of comfort, but once they get... I don't think people should seek to live a life of comfort.
I don't either, but someone's got to flip the burgers.
Yeah, but that's not even comfortable. That's less comfortable, bro.
Yeah, it is, because it's like, you have to choose your heart. And we'll go back to that point, because I am going to talk about that for a long time.
Okay, let's do that. But... like, I just think we value different things. So, like, we value success because we've placed such... like, the best way to put it is, like, an athlete wants to win because he wants to win.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way. And so I think we place that same frame on business. Mm-hmm. We look at it as kind of a game,
mm-hmm.
of something to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas most people look at making a living as something to do, mm-hmm. and work-life balance and stuff like this,
mm-hmm.
but for, like, me and Justin, tell me if I'm wrong, like, this is my life.
Yeah,
like, screw, there is no balance.
And granted, because I've been in real estate, every once in a while I'll be like, man, I really wish I could just turn my phone off today, But those days are few and far between. And the vast majority of the days, I'm happy when my phone's ringing and there's things to do and problems to solve. Like, it brings me so much joy.
Yeah, facts. I agree. Yeah, but to the wife thing, like, I think it's just because they don't have that motivation to win. Their motivation, the only motivation they can make in order to get money is the motivation to not let their wife starve. Yeah. It's not an option. Like, they have to be the ones to provide for their family.
Sure.
Some men still fail, but, and most obviously some fail. Wives are the breadwinners, or some women are the breadwinners.
Yeah.
But for most men, it's like, no, like, you have to make 150 grand if you want to support a 6-person family. So they end up making 160 grand. But have you ever noticed that, like, people never really make more than that? Yeah. Like, it's kind of ironic how
they make what they need.
They make what they need, but they feel like they can't make more. Like, I know somebody personally who has a family of 7, so including him and his wife, 5 kids. They have a family of 7. He makes like 200 grand a year, which is a good amount of money. But, like, the whole family is like, we're broke. It's like, you're not, like, that you're making a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? But, like, with the mindset that they have, you'd think that they would be making less money. Because so many people dream that they could be making that much money. But they're only making, like, 30 grand.
Yeah.
And so I think it's, I literally think it's the belief system you have and how much money you can make plays such a big role in it.
But also, he's making exactly what he needs to make for his family to go by.
Yeah, facts. And, like, the activities that he does outside of making that money is not, like, you can tell there's simply no motivation to make more.
Yeah.
So his only, which is fine, but yeah. His only motivation comes from supporting his family, which I think is a noble motivation. But, like, yeah, like, if me and you were never to get married, I think we would make a buttload of money still.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. I'd be interested to see how much money I made if I was married versus me not being married.
It also so much depends. I would too. But it also so much depends on who you marry.
100%. Choose wisely.
So, bro, like, if you get somebody who nags you, like, you're not, no matter what, bro, you're not making a lot of money.
You've dealt with girls like that.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I haven't. I've been very lucky, which is why Isla's made it so far. That is one part of my life that she has never nagged at.
That is great. That is very, yeah. The Bible, there's so all of the kings, or many of the kings that were, like, evil, like, all of the kings that prospered were always the kings that followed God. They ended up making the most money, like, by far. Like, they had the best kingdoms, they had the most powerful armies, they had the biggest kingdoms, they had by far the most money. And these kings, their original characteristic was that they all seeked the Lord with all of their heart. And then all of the kings that said, like, they were wicked and they followed in the steps of some other wicked king, for a few of them, it was like, because this was his mother, or because this was his wife. So, like, if the closest person to you is influencing you to not make money, like, bro, you're not making that much money, period.
Yeah, it's true. And, I mean, this is a bit provocative, but, like, if you're thinking about taking a $50,000 risk and investing in one of Justin's properties that I'm going to have in the future, or if you're thinking about taking a $50,000 risk on Lewis Burris for his business and you want to buy a slim piece of it, but your wife is jerking you off every night, telling you, don't do it. It's a bad idea. Don't do it. It's a bad idea.
Or she's like, I'm not going to have sex with you.
Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, facts.
You're not going to do it.
And you're already in the marriage. So, like, you got to, like, you can't, you have to appease your wife to some degree.
100%.
Unless you want your life to be trash.
Now imagine the opposite. She's jerking off.
Says, we gotta click explicit content now.
Yeah, it's fine. We can click explicit content.
That is facts.
She's jerking off, and she's like, "You really need to invest in this company. You're calling him as soon as you get
finished. As soon as you can, bro.
And investing.
And investing. Right?
So I had a $10,000 investment for this Airbnb thing. And I asked Isla's opinion, and she said, do it. And I was like, done.
Done.
It's that freaking simple.
Because it's the most important decision maker.
Yeah.
Well, no. It's one of the most important decision makers in your life and how you make decisions.
Yeah. So find someone who you're very much on the same page with. This might be bad advice, but I would say don't marry fast.
Yeah, I would fully agree. Don't marry too slow either, though.
Don't marry too slow either.
Because you don't want to, like...
dangerous.
Yeah, like, because overthinking is very bad.
Yeah.
Something else I forgot to mention. We're going to get to your choose your hard. But something else I forgot to mention was about my current life. I'm currently working with a mentor. His name's Elliot.
Oh, yes. How could we forget?
I don't know, dude. Elliot is such a freaking legend, though.
He's literally the most important part of our lives.
Literally the most, like, important part. If I have any financial success, well, number one, I attribute all of the success I have in my life to God. But he probably facilitated that through Elliot. Because Elliot, I think that mentorship is one of the most important things that you can ever do in your life when it comes to financial prosperity. Because you cannot get something. It's like you can't think of a color that your brain has never seen before. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way, it's very hard to get to a state of prosperity if you never see an example of prosperity.
It's true.
So like if you have a mentor constantly telling you what to do, but also just constantly being that image of success, mm-hmm. like eventually you're going to conform.
Yeah.
So.
It's like growing up and you look at your dad and you think your dad's a superhero. And then you get older and you realize like, he's a cool guy, but he's really not. It's like the same thing with a mentor. Like we think our mentors are superheroes and they're such strong motivation to succeed in life. But one day we're going to grow up and we will be that mentor for someone else.
Yeah, facts. One day we're going to be Elliot.
Yeah.
Hopefully better. Hopefully. No, Elliot, if you're listening to this, which you probably will be because I'm going to be successful and you're going to be like, I wonder what the first podcast Lewis posted was. Anyways.
No offense, because Lewis owes it to you.
Yeah, no offense, because the only reason I'm that good, the only reason I'm better than you is because you even existed.
Yep.
Anyways. Choose your hard.
Let's talk about it. So, one of the biggest blessings in my entire life has been Lewis. But also...
I would say the same thing with Justin.
Thank you. But here's why. And my family and just my circumstances. But the example I'm going to use is all thanks to you. So that's why I'm saying this. So my family owns a business. We've owned it for, gosh, almost 200 years. Oldest business in Delaware.
Really?
Or at least Milford.
Interesting.
Oldest business in Milford, which is a small part of Delaware. I think it might just be Milford. Anyways. That's besides the point. It's a small business. It's a gravestone business. It does a couple million a year. So it's successful. It's never had a red year. But my point in saying all this is there's like 5 employees that work there. All guys who work on the truck. So they set the stones. They sandblast the stones. They carve the stones. This, that, and the other. But the money that they make is very little. And I pray that none of them are watching this. but I don't think they have the attention span to watch this or listen to this. So I think we're in the clear.
Oh, that's good.
But my point in bringing this up is I've gotten to see what it's like to be very poor. But not even poor in the way in like you can't make more money. Because some of these guys are extremely intelligent. Like one of the guys in particular, he has his engineering degree. And he's just like, he's, for lack of better words, he's an animal. Like he's so smart, genuinely one of the smartest, most like, he's like a Cody. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Common sense guy.
Common sense guy.
That's good.
He's very smart. Definitely has a higher than average IQ, I would say. Anyways. So I've gotten to see the bad that exists in the world, or the poorest I don't want to say the poorest of the poor because they're not like homeless or anything, but like we're talking about $35,000 a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
After tax. But I've also gotten to go on trips to Aspen with Lewis's family. So it's wildly, monumentally different. And when you see such contrasting ideas, beliefs, views, it's absurd. And I don't know, I think it makes you grow a lot as a person. And I think it's taught me a lot of good life lessons, but the biggest one being choose your heart. So I see Lewis's dad working a lot, constantly, he's always on. And same thing with my grandfather, who runs the business. He's 6 days a week, he's constantly thinking about business. And he works super duper hard. And I know he deals with quite a bit of stress, and I'm sure your dad deals with a decent amount of stress too. Because he's got a whole company on his back. It's a lot of people to feed.
A lot, yeah.
But there's also the guys that I worked with for a couple years who are trying to figure out how they're going to buy their family dinner.
Yeah.
Or how they're going to take their kids to the fair. Like, it's just crazy how different the problems are, but yet they're still faced with such difficult problems. So it's kind of like choose your heart. Like,
and also, like,
elaborate on the points that I just made. I didn't even make any points. Elaborate on what I just said.
Like, the people who choose the hard of a poor life,
mm-hmm.
or a life where they wanted to fulfill their dreams, they wanted to do X, Y, and Z,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't do that which they needed to do, that which they knew they needed to do,
mm-hmm.
they seem to have a worse life overall. Because realistically, the quality of your life isn't defined by what you have. It's honestly just defined by, like, realistically, your mental state.
Yeah.
Like, your life can only be, the quality of your life can only be judged by you, because you're the one, you are the life.
Yeah.
Like, you are living your life.
Yep.
And the people, I think there's a very strong correlation between go-getters and people who get stuff in life and a positive mental attitude.
Yep.
And there's also a correlation between people who victimize themselves and a negative mental attitude. And, like, the people who end up 30 and they haven't done what, I'm not going to use money because there's many different forms of dreams.
Yep.
So I'm going to not use money.
Yep.
But let's say, like, they haven't done anything with their life.
Yep.
Like, God has given them time. God has given them skills.
Yep.
God has given them a brain.
Yep.
And yet they have simply only pursued laziness.
They've survived.
They have survived. That's a good way to put it. Even God, like, God is the reason for their survival. So, like, but these people normally hate their lives, and people who are rich, although they are stressed out constantly, normally like their lives more. Now, there are obviously, like, studies that Elon Musk is, like, low-key depressed, Jeff Bezos is low-key depressed, but from my observation,
that's a whole nother echelon.
That's a whole nother echelon. Like, yeah, like, when you had got divorced by 6 women, I think there's an underlying issue there, right?
Yeah,
that might not be a money issue.
100%.
But like, for the general, like, millionaire, or for the general person who goes and achieves their dreams, like, these people, like, they wake up in the morning happy, they go to bed happy. Obviously, they have bad days, but as a general rule, like, these people are just happier. So, like,
but not, you know, only what else they think? They also think that they have a totally different perspective on the world. Like, everyone who's successful in whatever realm that they choose to pursue, whether it be financially, whether it be just strictly family, whether it be fitness goals, like, they always like see the world as such a positive place, whereas the people who don't, they think that, like, the world or luck doesn't favor them. So like the guys that I worked with on the truck and the other like people that I've been around who are very low income, like they have this mental model where they think that just like if something goes wrong, they're just like, yep, that's my luck. Like they think that the world doesn't favor them.
Yeah. And it's like such a victim mindset.
Yeah, 100% victim mindset. That's the easiest way to explain it. Victim mindset, they think that luck doesn't favor them, the world doesn't favor them. But it's kind of because you haven't done anything to make the world favor you.
Yeah.
Or like...
it's their identity. Like, they have... if you have the identity of somebody who has bad luck, like, you're going to have bad luck.
Yeah.
You know? Because you're going to be acting in the world as somebody who has bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And what you... you reap what you sow. So...
and they even create their own problems. And I know that I can create my own problems in a way because I'll stress myself out over a real estate transaction, which is what I've been doing the past 30 minutes waiting for an email to come through. But I don't know, it's totally different. Like if someone cuts you off in traffic and you cuss them out and you're like, this is just my luck, just the kind of day I've been having. Like, what kind of man are you?
That's such a good way to put it, bro. Like,
someone cut you off in traffic, and you're freaking out about it.
If you can't be responsible for your own emotions, it's a good thing that God hasn't given you anything to be actually responsible for.
100%.
Because,
someone cut you off in traffic. It's not personal.
And like, now you're having the worst day ever.
Now your whole mental framework on the day has just totally shifted. I don't know.
Yeah, bro. I agree. So Sadhguru, for those of you who don't know, is a yogi. I think that yogi philosophy is a very smart philosophy.
It's like Buddhist, but non-religious, right?
Yeah. I'm not really sure. It's
like monk, but non-religious.
I don't think monks are religious. I don't know. I'm not going to talk too much on it because I really don't know.
Okay.
But
I don't think monks. I don't know. Anyways, good. Think of a monk.
There's many different types of monks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But think of a... nah, he's not even a monk. Well, in the average Westerner's image of a monk, you're pretty close.
Yeah.
So, okay. He's very smart. And one of the concepts that he talks about is responsibility. And so when he says responsibility, he doesn't mean like, are you responsible for this or responsible for that? Like, he talks about the concept of we all have infinite responsibility. So if you actually break up the word responsibility, you have responsibility. So your ability to respond. And a very important distinction that he makes is that we all have an infinite ability to respond to anything that happens to us. And so because he's more on like not so directed to like financial prosperity, but internal prosperity, he says that no matter what happens to you, no matter who flips you off, no matter who dies, no matter who anything, you have the ability to respond in a joyful and loving manner. Yeah. And that is within your ability.
Yep.
And if you can fix your internal to respond in the way of joy, of love, of peace, of self-control, of discipline, of proactiveness, right, then you can create the reality that you want out of life.
Mm-hmm.
But these people can't even control how their minds work. They can't control their thoughts. They can't control their emotions. And so when anything happens to them, it's like they click away their responsibility and they become tumbled along by the winds of life.
Mm-hmm.
And if the winds are pushing you around, you can't stay in your direction long enough to achieve anything with your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, these people are depressed because they can't even control their depression.
Yeah. Depression isn't real.
Dude, I said that one time in school.
I just said that just to say it.
Yeah, I know. But I did say that one time in school doing our SDPs. And I was considering doing a essay. So basically, backstory, we have when you graduated high school, which was 1 year ago,
mm-hmm.
We had to do a senior thesis project, STP, where mm-hmm. you wrote a big, like, 20-page paper
mm-hmm.
Discussing something. And I ended up writing mine on testosterone, but I wanted to write it on the fact that I don't think depression is real.
Wow, bro. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I said that in class, and bro, so many people got so triggered.
Well, like
Henry was like, what about people with clinical depression? And then even my girlfriend was like, are you kidding me? Lewis, stop, shut up. Lewis, stop talking. Please, please stop talking. Like, don't say this stuff.
But like, okay. I don't know. Because if anyone's allowed to say it, it's you.
Huh, that's facts. That is actually facts. Yeah.
Because if anyone's dealt with real depression, it's you.
Yeah, backstory. So, like, probably, what was it? I think it was end of freshman year, sophomore year. And then it kind of, then I figured it out junior year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was, like, severely, severely, severely depressed, like, all of sophomore year. Probably a little bit of freshman year. And then... Because I subscribed, like, oh, like, I have severe clinical depression. Like, I can't do anything. And I don't remember one good thing I did in my life at that time period.
You coded.
Oh, yeah, facts. I coded. But, which was actually a very big benefit right now.
Yeah.
But then the thing that distinguished me from other depressed people, and I don't take credit for this because this is just the natural thought pattern that God gave me. Was I was like, all right, how do I fix this? All right, I'm still depressed. How do I fix this?
Yeah.
And then I just realized, and as baffling as this is going to sound and as nonsensical as this is going to sound, I realized that I could simply stop being depressed. Like, I didn't have to do anything external to change my internal, because that implies that I cannot control my internal. My internal state is controlled by my external. I just realized to stop thinking. Like, stop overthinking my problems. They don't exist. Stop overthinking the way that everybody looks at me. Nobody's even thinking about me. Like, just stop overthinking and just be happy. Because realistically, we all have the ability to emit whatever emotion we want. Most of us have simply not become in tune with this ability. And so, yeah, eventually I think that my depressive episode was a gift from God, because I learned how to become very proactive and a positive. Justin, would you say I'm a positive person?
10,000%.
I would say I'm a pretty positive person as well. I would say you're also a pretty positive person. And I think that, yeah, so I think that, would you agree when I say this? Like, there are people who, when they are depressed, their brain is physically not producing the chemicals that make them, like, dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin and epinephrine, norepinephrine, like, all the stuff that makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, because if you think a happy thought, your brain produces happier chemicals. So the way that people even diagnose depression is by looking at your brain and seeing how many neurotransmitters it's producing. And if it is depressed, all depressed means is, like, decreased, right? Like, if you depress your bed, you're pushing down on your bed.
Mm-hmm.
So your production of neurotransmitters is depressed. If these people are continually in a negative state of victimization, of course, clinically, they're going to be depressed.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, where do I want to go with this? Depression's almost your body telling yourself, your physical, that you're doing something wrong with your life.
It's like
a survival.
Yeah, like, something ain't working.
Yeah, like, you're doing something wrong, right? So, like, if I got fat, I'd almost guarantee a byproduct that I would become depressed, because I would lose Isla. I would totally lose my perspective of myself. I know I wouldn't be working in business hardly at all. I'd probably be way more broke than I am right now, because I spent all my money on food. And I'd probably lose friends too.
Expensive freaking processed food.
Yeah. And I'd probably lose friends. So it's like, of course you're going to be depressed.
Of course you're going to be depressed. Yeah. And I also think there's like, I think it's 80%. No, I think it's, there is 100% a degree of your physicality. Like if you eat the wrong foods, your mental state is going to be more depressed.
Yeah.
If you don't sleep right, you're going to be more stressed out and more angry.
Yep.
Like I don't struggle with sadness anymore. I honestly just struggle with anger. So like, if I'm really angry and frustrated and I can't focus, it's because I didn't sleep well, or
Really?
I didn't eat food. Yeah,
Yeah,
or eat the right
angry
food.
and cranky.
And yeah, bro, I just get so freaking angry, bro. It's
It's
not even
because it's
funny.
so much more important than people make it out to be.
Dude, food and sleep is so important. Like all the people was like, I don't eat food and I eat one meal a day. Yeah, wait, it's like I'm trying to eat one meal a day.
I'm
What am I
trying to
saying?
eat one meal a day.
Yeah. Well, we're that's a story for a different.
It's calculated. It's
It's
highly
calculated.
calculated.
Yeah, it's for physical nutrition. We're researching it right now.
Yeah,
Anyways.
it's experiment.
Unrelated.
I'm totally. That's another episode in and of itself.
That is another. Yeah, that could be a 3-hour long
This will
episode.
probably be one of our longest episodes, though.
Yeah, we're at. Do you know what we're at?
40.
51.
Wow.
But yeah, we're gonna have a bunch of emergency meetings too, and they're gonna be the most. We should do FaceTime emergency meetings. Like I'm gonna be in Virginia.
Yeah, but is there any way we can like just hop on like a Zoom and record the audio
Yeah.
with no visual?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
We should do that.
That way the audio is crisp and we don't have like our microphones up against the
Yeah, I agree.
webcam.
I agree. True that. Yeah, anyway, all the people were like, I don't sleep. I focus for 10 hours without interruption. I hate all the people around me. I don't talk to any people. Like, bro,
Which is
is that the
fine for a
life that you want to
season, but it's
live?
fine for a season, but is it sustainable?
It's,
And that's what I
yeah.
don't think people comprehend. Like there's weeks that I go and I'll sleep on average like 5 hours, 6 hours for a week, but then I need 2 days where I sleep 14 hours
Yeah,
because
bro.
it's not sustainable. You
Yeah.
can't, you cannot do it.
It's not like your body is designed to sleep. Like, I think the most productive people are the people who have the most consistent sleep schedule and who eat good foods.
100%.
Like, without a doubt. Like, there was a study that said the most important factor in scoring high on SAT scores was a good meal before the SAT score or the
And
SAT
probably a
test.
good night's sleep
And
prior.
probably a good night's sleep. Like, yeah, I don't agree with hard work anymore. I don't think that you should work hard. I think that you should work joyfully. And the reason being, this will be the closing. Should this be the closing
I don't know.
discussion?
We talked about our future. We already talked about our future goals. Say it. Just say it.
All
Who
right.
cares if it's closing or not?
I think, people, I've had this conversation with a lot of people. People always say that the Bible supports working hard. And I'm going to speak lightly on this because I do not know.
The hardest workers are the poorest workers. Anyways.
Then, anyways, I think the Bible supports working diligently, working wisely, and working joyfully. But how can you work hard if you're working joyfully? Because if you're joyful, it's not hard. You're just do like if you actually think about it, right? What defines something being hard? The only reason that something can be hard is if you don't like doing it, and so you have to use willpower to get yourself to continue doing it, right?
Correct, correct.
Even if like your workout is enjoyable and you're lifting heavy weights, like that's not like honestly, that's not a hard workout. Like you can go to the gym very consistently if you have those workouts because it's not hard. But if every day you're working hard and like the thought in the back of your head is like, oh, this is so hard, this is so hard, how much are you actually going to get done? Like, you're not going to get that much done because you don't enjoy the work that you're doing. 50% of your mental energy is going to the fact that you want to go to bed and you hate your life. But if you work joyfully, you can work 14-hour days and not even be tired. Like I've worked those days before, and I'm like, I genuinely don't want the day to end, and I've got more done in one day than most people get done in a week. And I had a blast doing it because I was working joyfully.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that working joyfully is the key to, like, productivity. What do you think, Justin?
I agree. Perspective is the key to life. If you can have, if you can shift and alter your perspective to what you need it to be, depending on the situation that you find yourself in, you will live a so much more joyful, productive, happy life. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Facts. And you're totally right about hard work. Like, you shouldn't work hard because, I mean, you say something's hard when you don't want to do it. Like
eating consistently is hard. Like, for bodybuilders. Like, most people love eating. But a bodybuilder is going to look at that meal and be like, this is hard, bro.
Because I don't want to get it down.
Because I don't want to, exactly, because it sucks. It's the same exact process, different interpretation. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, why work hard when you can enjoy work?
And quote-unquote work hard.
And quote-unquote work hard.
Basically, yeah. What we're saying is work hard, but it shouldn't be called working hard. Because it's not really working hard. I mean, we understand what working hard is.
Yeah.
And you want to work hard, but you don't want to work hard with the motivation of working hard.
Facts. Because then you're just, like, inflicting pain on yourself for no reason.
It's like, what would be a good analogy for that?
I think the best way to...
This is a tricky one to come up with.
I think the bodybuilding is a bit like...
Yeah, that's probably the best you're going to get.
Wait, let me think. Like, when you're playing soccer... Okay. This is... Cardio, for most people would say cardio freaking sucks.
Yep.
But me and Justin...
Cardio's hard.
You got to work hard. You got to run on the treadmill for 20 minutes. Me and Justin were both soccer players, and we can attest that the 90 minutes that we were sprinting in a soccer game doing 50 times as much cardio as Jack, who's working hard on the treadmill, we had so much more of a blast, and we burned way more calories, and we probably ran way further, and we made positive social connections with our teammates, all because we were working joyfully. Like, work...
That is the best analogy.
Work, if you like look at the definition of work, it is effort that you put in to get an outcome. Right? So how much work you do is how much effort you put in. Hard work is effort that puts in that you have the incorrect analogy that it's hard.
Hard.
You know? But, like, even right now, like, I'm putting a lot of work into moving my tongue and moving my mouth. But I'm not thinking about it. I'm just moving my tongue and moving my mouth.
And we're also putting a lot of brain power.
We're enjoying this.
Yeah. So is it hard?
I don't think so. Like, we're not making this podcast to make money.
No.
And most people cannot stay consistent with podcasts. And most people say they want to make a podcast, but they never do because it's hard work. Of course you're not going to do it if it's freaking hard.
But is it hard?
It's not hard. Like, we're just sitting here and talking like we would do any other time that we would hang out.
You pressed a few buttons on your computer and now there's a podcast.
Exactly, bro.
Is that hard?
It's not hard.
It's not hard.
Like... Hopping onto a call with prospects is not hard. You're sitting in a chair looking at a TV.
They can't even see you.
They can't even see you if you're over the phone. Like, it's all your perspective.
100%.
There was something I was going to say. Frick. Oh, I think... So, yes, work hard, but don't work hard. But I honestly think the best way to put it is the way that the Bible puts it, which is work diligently. Because working diligently doesn't imply hard work. It just implies that you're working diligently.
Yeah.
And you're working when you can work, and you're working to the best of your ability.
Joyfully.
Joyfully, to the best of your ability.
Because you can't work diligently without having a positive attitude, I don't think.
Probably. Well, I think maybe. I don't know.
I think you work more diligently when you're
joyful.
If you have a positive attitude on the work you're doing.
No, I agree. Because even the effort to become joyful, I think, is a diligent action.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So.
So, anyways.
Anyways.
We're going to be rich.
We're going to be rich.
Lewis is going to find a smoking wife someday.
Yes. See,
absolute 10.
Am I allowed to say that about your wife? Because, like, I don't want to, like.
Yeah, I don't care, bro.
Justin already has a pretty high level wife, so.
Thank you, bro. I got lucky. But honestly, bro.
I got lucky. Well, it's like, I don't know. You can look at it however you want. Yeah.
She would have found someone good. I would have found someone good.
That is true, actually.
I don't know. If I could do it all over again.
Would you date Isla?
No, I'm not even saying that, because I would. But, like, recently I've been thinking about, like, when's the best age for a guy to get married? And I've thought about it a lot. And I don't think I have an answer. I don't have an answer. It's not I don't think I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. Because, like, okay, we're 19, right?
Yeah.
So Isla would be considered a day one. Because I didn't have a lot the whole time we were dating. I mean, I had quite a bit more than most.
But yeah. Well, you started dating her sophomore year of high school.
Yeah, so I had nothing then.
You had nothing. You just had good looks.
And a little bit of charm.
And a little bit of charm.
That's about it. But she stayed with me, and I stayed with her, and I had a little bit. But she'd still be considered day one. But let's say you, in the next 6 months, are making 10K. To most people, that's the most I'll ever make in their life. But for you, I think that would still almost be considered a day one if a girl came in your life.
If I go to Liberty University, nah. Because, like, if I'm making 10K at 20, and they're anywhere from 19 to 23, and I'm making 10K, they're like, so we can go out and eat every single day? And I'm going to be like, we're not going to, but theoretically, yes.
Yeah. That's not even a day one.
Not even a day.
But so, like, you have guys that, anyways, the point, were you going to say something else?
Nah.
So the point I'm making here is there's, like, I'm trying to classify the different phases of getting married as a guy. So you have the guy who gets married to his day one.
Yeah.
Then you have, which is me, and then you have the guy who gets married not to his day one, but to just a girl on his come up. So, like, between the age of 20 and 30.
Yeah, he's not, like, uber-duber rich.
Or even like, 20, 21 to 28, I think, would be the best.
Yeah, depending, yeah.
Depending on the guy, but we're talking about strictly entrepreneur. Like, you're going to be worth $100 million by the time you die.
Yeah, but you're only, at this stage, you're only worth, like, you're making good money, you're making more than most people, but, like,
but also, like, you're rich. Like, multiple six figures. Between 22, or 21 and 20.
Okay, touche. Touche.
Because there's a ton of growth that happens.
100%, 100%.
So you, the lowest guys are making 10K, and the top guys are making over a mil.
Yeah. Agreed.
So then there's those guys that get married to top-tier women.
Mm.
But those women are typically within the same age as them. So, like, if I'm 25, I'm typically marrying a girl who's at least 20.
At least, okay, yeah.
It's
yeah.
very rare that if you're 25, you marry a girl who's younger than 20.
Yeah, 100. Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, that's 100%. I agree.
But then, and this is where I'm leading to.
Okay.
And I've put some thought into it. Whether or not that this is the best for entrepreneurs and for guys or not. And I've even thought about it from strictly a religious point, because you also, like, we're Christian, as I'm sure you can tell from Lewis's mentions of the Bible. So we don't believe in having sex before marriage.
We believe in it. We believe it's great. But it's also haram, so don't do it.
Yeah. So if you avoided getting married until you were 30, you would then have the ability to marry, like,
anyone
in any age range.
Because you have developed insane wealth, which is already like a massive boost.
Yeah.
In your perceived value. And generally, by the time men get to 30, that's when they're like they look very good. They look very like masculine, assuming
your life's set in stone at that point, pretty much.
Yeah. Like, that's almost like your peak.
It is. I would argue between 30 and 35 is a guy's peak.
Mm-hmm.
So why not marry when you're in your peak, why not marry a girl when she's in her peak? Between
35 and, so what's their peak? Like 21?
22 to 25.
Well, physically, that would be their peak. But, like, why? Like, why can't I marry a girl in her peak when I'm 22? And we're talking about purely physical attractiveness because the world judges women based on their looks.
Yeah. Because that's their value.
That's not their intrinsic value based in God's eyes, but that is...
The worldly world, value.
That's how the world values them. Yes.
Continue. Yes. But also, there's many other things that make up a woman's value. But.
Yeah, like personality is absolutely massive.
And their nurturing and caring abilities because our wives are going to be stay-at-home wives. Blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Anyways.
Well, I think, I mean, like realistically,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, that dude.
Yeah.
He just broke up with his girlfriend because she was 25 and got a 19-year-old girlfriend. So, like, there are some men who do that. But I think that that's low-key dumb. I think that you're insecure and you're using that as a status symbol. I think that the most mature thing and the most masculine thing that a man can do is pick one woman and stick with her. And I don't think looks and the girl matter as much as the world makes it seem. I think that looks are important. I obviously want to marry a beautiful woman, but like at the same time, her personality and the way she treats me and the way she looks at God is so much more important than her physical beauty when she's 20. Like, screw physical beauty, because like that's going to fade by the time she's 40. I mean, if she takes good care of herself.
No, it's not.
If she takes care of herself, it could still be there. But like realistically, like she could get into a house fire and like get the objectively or subjectively the ugliest face in the world. But
this
I think
is true. That is a very good point.
And like if you value your woman solely based on how she looks, like what are you gonna divorce her?
Just, no, precisely.
Like, yeah. So I think screw. Like going after the high value people, I think you just need to find somebody that you can go into battle with, somebody that can support you the entire way, and then hopefully somebody that there's some biological compatibility with, aka like, do you find them attractive?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you agree?
100%. Because I mean, realistically, looks are fleeting. By the time you're 60, they pretty much don't matter at all. Even if you marry the most beautiful girl, say she's 20, you can argue that she's the most beautiful girl you've ever seen. By the time she's 35 and has had two of your kids, I promise you, you'll be able to find a girl who's more beautiful.
Yeah.
By the world's standards, at least.
Yeah.
So, especially as guys, like, men's value kind of go up over time and women's kind of
go down.
In a strictly a worldly perspective.
In a worldly perspective. In like...
Strictly worldly.
Strictly worldly. Like the way that people naturally perceive other people.
Yeah.
But I think that there's something to say about male culture. I think that male culture has made it a game and a status play to see who can get the most beautiful women. And so generally what goes along with being like a hardcore red pill businessman is, all right, you got the money. Now, how attractive of a girl can you get? Right.
How many attractive girls
can you get? And so now men are being valued by like their Riz ability, mm-hmm. right? Which is not good. Mm-mm. There is no real value. If you look at life in the sense that we should all live meaningful lives before we die mm-hmm. and make the world a better place and do everything to the best of our ability, dude, that doesn't matter at all. That is purely a game that is played with the root of insecurity fueling the fire, mm-hmm. you know? So, like, I think that a man who has married one woman who is a good woman is so much of a more masculine man than yeah. somebody who's polygamous.
And I think that guy will live a much more fruitful life than the polygamous man.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I don't know, like, there's always that one girl who's just a good girl. She's not the most particularly attractive. I mean, she's usually fairly attractive, but she's not the playboy.
She's not a model.
No.
But that's also probably because she doesn't
put 100% of her value in how she looks.
Exactly. Like, she's not wearing scandalous clothing that makes every guy snap his neck.
And you never want to marry a woman like that.
You never want to marry a woman like that. Because she's going to cheat on you, bro. Listen, for the men out there, if you have a girl who wears tight freaking clothes and gets so intentionally looks for attention from guys, just don't. Nah.
It's hard to build a kingdom when the queen needs attention from the village.
Wow. That's such a good one, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that on my wall. I think that's a good quote to end this with. We're at an hour and 12 minutes.
Yeah, I think we should call it. All right. Save some material for future episodes.
Oh, dude, we could come up with infinite material.
We could.
All right, well, I hope you guys have realized the mindset that you need to have to become as successful as future me and Justin. Follow God and don't be gay.
Really, don't be gay.
Don't be gay. Dude, we should name this podcast Don't Be Gay. Do you think it would get, like, canceled?
I say we just start. Why don't we just do a series on Don't Be Gay? Because I don't want our podcast to get taken down in 4 years once we're massively and monumentally successful.
Should we explain what we mean by Don't Be Gay? So, like.
Yeah, go ahead. Just give them a 30-second.
All right, so first of all, if you're gay, I don't think you have any less of a value as a human being.
Nope.
I think that being gay is just as bad as being lazy.
Yep.
I think that anybody who proclaims to be a Christian and looks down on gay people is a poor practicing Christian.
Yep.
I think we're all valued equally as human beings, and yep. we all have equal human rights,
yep.
and we should all be treated with love and respect.
Yep.
So if you are a gay person and you have been discriminated against because you're gay,
especially
by the red pill community or the Christian community, I apologize. Yep. They are poorly misrepresenting our belief.
Yep.
I simply believe that being gay has negative consequences for your overall health and yep. the world.
Yep.
And that if we are supposed to follow Jesus, yep. and Jesus has designed a man to be with a woman and a woman to be with a man, it is not our right to try to violate that premise. But like I said, it's not worse of a sin than laziness. If you're lazy, I would equally want to make a podcast that talks about don't be lazy or don't be gluttonous or don't be fat, right? Et cetera, et cetera.
Let's just make an episode on why each thing is bad.
In fact, let's don't be fat. Don't be gay. Don't be lazy. Don't be insecure. Don't be depressed.
Yeah.
Dude, we should.
We could, bro.
Let's do it. All right. Peace.
Peace.